My name is Nancy Becker, and I am your Recorder of Deeds here in Montgomery County. It's very important for the veterans to be aware that they should record their DD 214 or military discharge in the Recorder of Deeds office. This is important because when a veteran passes, the funeral director will usually contact their Recorder of Deeds office so that they can arrange for a military funeral. And this relieves the burden of family members of trying to find this very important document. But the most important reason is that we are now issuing a veteran's photo ID card that entitles the veterans to discounts and incentives from nearly 400 businesses here in Montgomery County. All the veteran has to do is come into the Recorder of Deeds office at 1 Montgomery Plaza in Norristown. Parking is always free for our veterans. You just come into the parking garage and tell them you're a veteran and you can park free of charge. Bring along your DD 214 and a photo ID. We'll issue you the veteran's photo ID, give you a list of the businesses that are participating. It takes about 10-15 minutes at the most, and this way you will be receiving these discounts. The incentive for the business to do this is we advertise your business free of charge. My website gets about 1,000 hits a week, so the potential for over 1,000 people of seeing your business is there. Also, every veteran gets a list of all the businesses participating. They get it when they come into the office, and we email them to them every 3 to 4 weeks so that the veteran is aware of the new businesses we have. Veterans of Montgomery County, please come into our office. It would be my honor to shake your hand and thank you for your service to our country.
Good morning and welcome to Raise the Standard. I'm Michael Rapp, in studio with my wife Jean. We're from Brandywine Flags in the Marchwood Shopping Center in Exton. And our guest today is Lieutenant Colonel Kevin Kelly, retired U.S. Air Force. Kevin, welcome.
Thanks, guys. Good to be here.
We were talking a little bit before the show, and Kevin has quite a resume. Kevin, tell us a little bit about yourself and some of your military background history.
Yeah, so I found out in high school that I couldn't sing or dance, so I figured I'd join the military. And a couple Marines came into Monsignor Bonner High School when I was a junior, and they were just very squared away and convinced me that maybe I should fill out a Navy ROTC application. So I did that, went to Villanova University to try to play some football, and found out that I wasn't that college is not high school. And I was trying to figure out how to pay for college, and someone came over in one of my classes and said, there's Kevin Kelly in here. Very attractive young lady, I remember, and I said, right here. And she said, do you know you have a scholarship, a Navy ROTC scholarship? And so I followed her across campus, mainly out of curiosity because she was so good looking. And then the next day my head was shaved and some guy was screaming at me, and I was in the military ever since. And it was great.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. And I'd mentioned that you are Air Force, but you started out in the Navy.
I did. So I got a Navy, went to Villanova University, Navy scholarship, then went to Pensacola, Florida for flight school. After that, went to Naval Air Station Kingsville for jet training, advanced jet training, and then to went to Virginia Beach, Virginia Naval Air Station Oceana, where I flew A-6 intruders. About 12 years into that, the A-6 went away as an aircraft and was going to go fly F-18s, but had an opportunity to transfer to the Air Force to fly F-16s. Took advantage of that, went to various bases around the country and around the world as an F-16 instructor, and then finally ended up in the New Jersey Air National Guard as a full-time active duty member there, instructor pilot down there, and that's where I retired from out of Atlantic City.
So this was pretty much stateside, but you actually did fly combat missions. You've got quite a few carrier landings, as I understand.
That's right. So everybody's stationed, well, unless they're stationed in an overseas base. They're stationed here, but you deploy. So I did multiple combat tours off of aircraft carriers, and then subsequently my squadrons would deploy to Iraq and other locations, and we flew multiple combat missions starting in I got out of flight school in 2002, just after the first Gulf War. And then in 2004, we've been in essentially a continuous state of war ever since. So a lot of deployments and a lot of time away from home and family and friends.
So your experience has really been multifaceted. You also indicated you were an instructor. You had a number of men that you actually shepherded in the program.
Yeah. So as you gain experience, you qualify to become an instructor pilot, and you're an instructor inside of your combat unit. As new guys and gals come on board, you're responsible for training them and getting them up to speed. But also, I did a tour for the primary F-16 guys. So coming right out of basic flight training at Luke Air Force Base, you teach them the basics at Luke over a course of a year. Then you send them to their combat squadrons. So I was an instructor at Luke Air Force Base as well. And obviously, when you show up, you know, as the new guy or gal, you're good enough to fly around and go to combat, but you're very green. So your education is always continuing inside the military, which is one of the things I loved about it. You're never quite there yet. You're always learning.
Sure. All of this really started, pretty much started with you, as a student and just the opportunity because of a scholarship that, here we have young people that today, are looking for funding and so forth. So you would strongly suggest that, we approach young people and we encourage them to do this as far as the military training, would you not?
I think especially the academies, and I didn't go to the academies, but I served with guys and gals who did. I think that is hands down the best education you can get. I see Ivy League kids graduating with all kinds of Mickey Mouse diseases, degrees, I'm sorry. Freudian slip there. Degrees. And, you know, we're setting our kids up to be $200,000-$300,000 in debt, and they have some, you know, Chilean poetry studies degree that doesn't qualify them to even be a barista at Starbucks. So I think it's a bubble that'll soon pop. But if you go to the military academies, I can assure you, you're going to be a leader when you walk out of those doors. And that's something that I don't think any other institutions can grant on top of a first-class education.
Sure. Are you involved now at all with young people and encouraging them? Do you have any kind of a mission relative to that?
I do. I've got a passion for young kids because I think we failed them in a lot of ways, especially our public schools. I'm on Senator Toomey's academy board, and it's funny. I was a solid B-plus student, you know, and I could have never gotten into the academies today or even an ROTC scholarship. I mean, the kids who come across to get into the academies now are, you know, for the most part, straight-A students, varsity letters, all kinds of Eagle Scouts and all kinds of accolades. I mean, these kids are just cream of the crop. And to pick them and select from the group that come in front of you is so challenging. The difference between the best and the worst is infinitesimal, which is a testament to how great the academies are and how challenging it is to get in there and the caliber of people we're putting through our academies. So I like to help and give guidance to kids who have a passion to go to the academies, and also younger kids in high school. We talk later about the Travis Mannion Foundation, but we as a Planet Fitness owner, we do the Travis Mannion Run in Tempe, Arizona. And as such, we get Navy junior ROTC kids, and it's a chance to mentor to them and provide them some direction. Some of these kids come from tough home situations, and as we were talking about before the show, they're starved for something true and something real and something patriotic, and it's amazing how the kids gravitate toward that.
Sure. So we're looking at students that are not going to make it to the academy because they're not the straight-A varsity student, Eagle Scout, what have you. But there are other opportunities, though, for different scholarships and for activities within the military, are there not?
There are. There's the military is like any organization. There are – it is – everything you think you can do in the civilian world, you could probably do the same thing in the military. So there's all kinds of levels, enlisted ranks, officer ranks. Administrative ranks. There's a ton of opportunity, even if you're not the guy or gal who's going to go to the academy. But I wouldn't. A young man who got the nomination for Senator Toomey is at the academy now. I keep in touch with every year. He was from Kensington, broken home. He took himself out on his own accord. Took himself out of Kensington High School to go to another school. This is a kid who I could have never done that when I was his age. Right, that kind of. Leadership, but he did, and now he's at his junior year at the academy, and he's going to be an outstanding officer. So even if you may come from a tough life situation. If you work hard and you've got what it takes, so military will find you out.
That seems to be the antithesis of what the progressives and the liberals want people to believe, that if you're a victim, there's nothing you can do. You're just stuck. That's where you are. And that's just not true in this country, is it?
No, it's not true. And look, the minute you let someone convince you you're a victim, and there are a lot of people out there, like you said, particularly progressives want to convince people that they're victims, you become a very dangerous person. And it's easy to believe, if you're in a rough circumstance, that it's somebody else's fault. So that's why it's so poisonous. And once you're a victim, like I said, you're a dangerous person because you can lie, steal, cheat, whatever, and it's not your fault because, after all, you're the victim. That mentality is poisonous, and I try to let these kids know that you're not a victim. And I think that's one of the biggest lessons learned in life.
Yeah, you can justify anything if you're the victim.
That's right.
But the opportunities that are available here within the country, if you just apply yourself and work hard, and just look for some kind of a path, and then find some group, if you could, for mentoring. And you're obviously mentoring young people as a result of this and trying to lead them.
There are places around the world where you truly are a victim, and it ain't America.
That's true.
That's true.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and on the other side of the break, we'll continue the conversation.
One, two, three.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gossett, inviting you to join me for Backstage Jazz. I'll spend an hour each week taking you behind the music and into the lives of America's top jazz musicians. Experience live jazz music and connect with the artists through backstage interviews. Join us right here for this season of Backstage Jazz. Broadcasting Saturday afternoon at 4 and streaming Sunday night at 6 on WFYL.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
If you like Car Talk, catch Under the Hood, Saturday and Sunday mornings from 6 to 7. Exclusively streaming on 1180WFYL.com. Worldwide on your computer or mobile device. Stream Under the Hood this Saturday morning from 6 to 7 at 1180WFYL.com or on your favorite mobile device. Go to our website at 1180WFYL.com to find out more.
Hi friends, Janet Parshall here, host of In the Market with Janet Parshall. I'm excited about partnering with 1180 AM WFYL to bring you a fast-paced conversation every Sunday. As you listen to In the Market, we'll examine major news stories and issues, equipping you to be bold when voicing truth in a confused and chaotic culture. I look forward to engaging my new friends at 1180 AM WFYL every Sunday at 12:05 p.m. on In the Market.
Hi, this is Mark Sizek, your host on This Is My Word, each Sunday at 8:05 a.m. Our speaker is Dan Peters, senior pastor at Limerick Chapel and author of the new book, 16 Counseling Sessions with the Wonderful Counselor. Join us each Sunday morning at 8:05 a.m. for a 25-minute Bible study with Dan Peters from Limerick Chapel, right here on WFYL 1180 AM.
Hey, everybody, this is Laura Ingram. Thanks for listening to my show and the other great programs carried live on WFYL 1180 AM, broadcasting from the historic Cradle of Liberty area, Valley Forge and Philadelphia.
Welcome back to Raise the Standard. I'm Michael Rapp in studio with my wife Jean from Brandywine Flags. And our guest today is retired Lieutenant Colonel Kevin Kelly. Kevin, we're talking in the first segment about the various opportunities that people have to get involved with young people and mentor young people. And you had mentioned Travis Mannion. Could you tell us about Travis for those of our listening audience that are not familiar with him? I know that he's local and he's known to a number of people in the area, but kind of bring us up to speed on Travis, if you would.
Yeah, so Travis is a local Marine. He went to LaSalle College High School and then on to the Naval Academy and did great things there, was a true leader, got out of the basic school and was a leader of men over in Iraq. And tragically, Travis was killed on his second tour of duty in Iraq. Essentially protecting his men from sniper fire, jumping out and making himself a target so that his men could escape, and tragically he was hit and killed. I'm friends with Travis's parents, Colonel Tom Mannion, Janet Mannion, who passed a few years ago from cancer tragically. But on his second tour, being a mom, Janet said to Travis, "You know, you've already been to Iraq, you've already done your combat tour. Why doesn't someone else go instead of you?" And he said to his mother, "Well, if not me, then who?" And that is now the motto of the Travis Mannion Foundation. If not me, then who? It's not somebody else's responsibility is their mantra, just like Travis said. And they try to instill in people little ways that you can make our country, your neighborhood, better. If not you, then who? A lot of people sit back and wait for somebody else to do the things that need to be done. And that's the wrong mentality. So getting back to Travis, however, I was over there when Travis was killed. I did not know him. I came back and in 2008 convinced his father, Colonel Tom Mannion, to run for Congress in the congressional district in the 6th Congressional. He lost that year. It was a tough year for Republicans. But I think he may run again this time. We're involved with the Travis Mannion Foundation. I'm an owner of Planet Fitness locations in Phoenix, Arizona, in the Phoenix area. We do the Travis Mannion Run every year, the 9/11 Heroes Run. And as such, we're getting a growing number of people to come out for this run, and we just want to put that message out there. So we partner with the Travis Mannion Foundation and a local charity. It's typically first responders, fire, policemen, families of the fallen. And we split the proceeds that we gain from the run, give to those charities. But also we have a lot of young people involved. I think this year we'll have 2,000 runners in our race. It's a very patriotic event. I think people are starved for that kind of thing because given the last 8 years, and I'll say it, I couldn't say it as an active duty guy, but I'll say it now. It's almost to be patriotic and proud of your nation has become
a negative,
but it's not. The majority of people still yearn for that, and we give them an opportunity with the race and with everything else the Travis Mannion Foundation does. In keeping with Travis's principles, the principles of his parents, and everybody else who's involved. So it's a great opportunity to reach the community. And these races happen all across the world, by the way. Started out with 50, then 100, now 150 and more this year.
I knew they were in America. They were all over America, but I didn't realize they were international.
They have bases, primarily military bases all over the world. Aircraft carriers have the run on the deck
of
the carrier. So, I mean, this is a big deal, and it's getting bigger. And, again, people love it, and it's just a chance to talk about Travis and Travis's best friend, Brendan Looney, a Navy SEAL who was also killed. Travis and Brendan were roommates at the Naval Academy, and now they're interned together down in Arlington. But those guys had the right stuff, and they were the best of what, you know, our youth at the time had to offer. There's still kids like that out. We talked about, you know, how great the kids are who are trying to get into the academy these days. I mean, But we just have to lead them as adults, as people who have been there, done that. Kids are starved for it. And so if it's not you to teach them these things, then who's going to do it? Well, the answer is nobody. It's got to be you.
So with that, you're mentoring young people through this run, through the foundation. So how do people get involved in the foundation? How do we get additional adults, if you would, and additional mentors or prospective mentors involved in this?
Yeah, you can just go to the website. It's cliche, but you say that. Travis Manu Foundation. Go on there, check it out. There's tons of opportunities to get involved. There's tons of projects going on with different. I mean, this organization is really, it's got two headquarters now, one in Doylestown, one out on the West Coast in San Diego, and everywhere in between. Different projects. One of the things that Ryan Mannion does, so Travis's sister, is she goes into schools and she talks to kids about why character matters. Again, these are messages that used to be part of the curriculum. As an aside, I looked at my grandfather's report card the other day. My grandfather would have been 100 years old. And his report card was amazing to me. It had geography, math, grammar, diction, think basic things. And then, mm-hmm. and then the other one that was amazing to me was home economics, like things you just taught and took for granted. Our kids aren't learning the basics anymore. So my point is, we've got to teach our kids these things. And Ryan goes into schools and talks about why character matters. The things you do in private make you who you are in public. And kids are hearing this message for the first time. It's distressing, but it's encouraging at the same time because they really do grab onto that and are hungry for it.
Yeah, I totally agree, because when we look at the society today, it's just crumbling. It's crumbling in front of us, and we're in denial. We don't want to admit it. We think that if we put money against a project, it'll be successful. When you look at how much money we spend per student to educate them, and like you say, they come out with some degree that has no value in the workplace, in the world today, where it's some philosophy of ancient something or other. It's like, what do you do with that? I guess you have to now become a professor and teach that to other kids who may want to enjoy that. But
the academic industrial complex, I call it. It's an unsustainable model. I mean, really, you should tell your kids, and I'm going to tell my kids, there are certain things I will pay for, maybe a hard science and skill for school, and there are certain things you're on your own, and you're not going to incur debt to do it. Because if you're coming out of school $200,000-$300,000 in debt, and you really have no skills to transfer into the private sector, you're for all intents and purposes, you're in some kind of in debt slavery for the majority
Absolutely.
Of your life. We're not doing our kids any favors by sending them to these universities where they get indoctrinated in all sorts of godless nonsense, and then we throw them to the wolves at age 21, and you know they can't find a job. Not for my kids.
Next thing you know, they're living in your basement.
And they're on your health care plan until 26.
That's
right.
Change.
Right. Because you look at, like you say, the education today, and it's almost like the colleges. The cost of college has increased at an insurmountable rate. And the reason, I think, is because the money is available.
From the government.
From the government. It's like, hey, we can do this. So when you look at the cost of living index and compare it to the cost of college, this is unsustainable.
Well, I've been saying that for 20 years because it goes up 11% a year. But
every year.
We're at a point now where it's parabolic, as they say, and parabolic things can't continue, and they will collapse. And I'm convinced that this academic nonsense has been going on forever. And as you said, it's funded by the government, which, by the way, is funded by taxpayers. The government doesn't create anything. Is going to collapse. And the good news is, I think, college will be online soon, and it'll be a lot less expensive. And I think these big, grandiose universities with a new wing built every year are going to be go the way of the dodo bird.
That could be a major issue. Then we're going to have campuses that will be converted into something else,
right?
Because they're just no longer students that are available for taking part in that. again, the foundation itself, you're saying go to the website. And what are the local activities other than the run and what have you? Are there other mentoring programs within that foundation?
Yeah, so there's all kinds. I'd have to refresh myself on what they are. But they go out and they go into neighborhoods and they go to other countries and build houses for people. They have wounded warriors who take on special projects, and you can get involved in those. It really spiders out into so many different things. But the core values and the core belief behind it are two things: character matters, and if not me, then who? Really, everything that springs out of that, all the projects, all the events, all the kind of things that come from the foundation, are really as part of the initiative of people who take on that mantra, if not me, then who, and then go do something to make a better, more positive difference.
And the website for that, again, is?
It's travismanion.org or .com. I'm not sure, but if you just Google Travis Manion, it'll be the first thing that
so
pops
up. So he's T-R-A-V-I-S.
M-A-N-I-O-N.
M-A-N-I-O-N. We encourage everyone to do that and to try and get a glove, get in the game, and make a difference. Because, again, looking at the education that we're giving our young people, are we really teaching them character? Are we really teaching them where we are going with this? We look at the things that are happening today. One of the things we had talked about earlier was the social issues going on and the riots and what have you by the victims, if you will, that were victimizing everyone within the country. So we encourage you to do that. And again,
grandparents, aunts, uncles, parents, please take the time to talk to your children, your grandchildren, your nieces, nephews, neighbors, and tell them the truth. Tell them what America really is and stands for and who we are as a people.
Yeah, this really is the greatest country that the world has ever known, and we don't want to lose this. The average lifespan of a culture that has been dominant in the world is 200 years. You look again.
And we can lose it if we don't stand up and do something. We can lose this country.
Yeah, you think of the people of Greece and Rome and Spain and England thought that they were going to suffer the fate that they have, where they're no longer dominant in the world. We need to take a look at this and pay attention. We're going to take a break in a second, and we'll be back on the other side and talk about this some more.
The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 6:10 to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might so we can stand in the evil day. Let me ask you, are you standing strong in the Lord and in the power of His might? Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network and the American Pastors Network, agreeing with the Apostle Paul that when the days are evil, we need God's armor. To modern culture, right is wrong and wrong is right. Good is evil and evil is good. The war against God, the truth, and God's people was started by the devil and is in full swing. The Bible tells us that all who will live godly in Christ Jesus will be targeted and will suffer persecution in the spiritual war. So what must we do? Put on the whole armor of God. Imagine, God designed armor to help us in the spiritual battle and available to us. In the next few weeks, we'll look at this armor of God and what it's for and why we'd better put it on. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, asking you, did you put on God's armor today? Are you even in the battle?
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? But the only part we're reading in 8th grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people, didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
All right. I know this isn't any fun to talk about, but we should. So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Where to be found? Batteries?
Dead.
Great. Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
No. What about blankets?
We have an old towel.
Good enough. Cell phones?
May not work.
Emergency water?
Not a drop.
And what about food?
Nope.
Perfect. We all know where we're meeting if we're separated, yeah?
The library.
Aunt Joan's house.
The bus stop.
Great. And I'll be waiting here wondering where you all are. Sounds like we don't have a plan. Who's up for mini golf?
Winging it is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Raise the Standard. I'm Michael Rapp in studio with my wife Jean. We're from Brandywine Flags in the Marchwood Shopping Center in Exton. And our guest today is retired Lieutenant Colonel Kevin Kelly. Kevin, we were talking about Travis Mannion and his tragic death as a Marine. Looking at the issues of the VA, we had talked about that a little bit at the break. The VA, we have some major, major problems. What are your background on that and some of your feelings?
Bureaucracies are not good. And the reason is because the bureaucracy ultimately begins to function to further the bureaucracy. And whatever the original mission statement is for a typical bureaucracy, that falls to the wayside. And the motive of everybody within the bureaucracy comes to sustain that entity in and of itself. And that's exactly what's happened in the VA. And as a result of a lot of these bureaucrats being a professional voting class, primarily for bigger government, more benefits for itself, it's lost the ability to function as it was originally created, which was to serve our brave men and women who paid the price or went out and served America in the military to provide them a basic level of medical care. When you can't fire somebody, or when it becomes extremely difficult to fire somebody, that institution will grind to a halt. Not only will it grind to a halt, it will become corrupt by its very nature. And that's what's happened. We've talked about, you know, people destroying documents, destroying letters. These are official government documents. If I had done that in the military, I would be making small rocks out of big rocks in Leavenworth. But somehow, we've set up this bureaucratic administrative class that is immune from this type of accountability. The bottom line is, it's a disgrace. And I don't care if you chop the head off that snake, another head's going to grow back on. It's at the administrative levels of this bureaucracy where the changes have to be made. People need to be held accountable. And by accountable, I don't mean censured. I mean fired. Fired without benefits. And I truly believe the VA should be run almost exclusively by retired military or former military who understand the culture, who understand accountability. That is the one branch of government that I believe is accountable and does have an ethos about hard work and a pure meritocracy. If you move those folks into that bureaucracy, I can almost guarantee you it will function.
How do we do this? How do we implement change?
Well, look, it's kind of we've got ourselves in a real pickle here. We've got almost an unaccountable elected class as well. Mm-hmm. The average American thinks to himself, and probably rightly so, my vote doesn't matter that much, or I'm not informed enough to vote, or I vote. Look, some people go out and just pull a handle. They have no idea who they're voting for. I mean, you kind of get what you deserve. I think it was Ben Franklin said, you get the government you deserve. I believe it was Franklin. This is all as a result of us kind of backing away from our civic responsibility. You've got politicians who go down to D.C., I guess with the best of intentions, but very shortly they become compromised. They'll come to the VA, they'll see the horrors that happen in the Philly VA, the Phoenix VA, and they'll rant and rave. And then the bureaucracy retreats, time goes by, nothing happens. There's a whole new set of elected bureaucrat, you know, professional political class in there. Nothing ever gets done.
Kevin, I constantly tell people on this program to contact their representatives, call them, fax them, email them, send smoke signals, whatever, to keep bugging them and you know, interacting with them. Does that really help?
It helps if you have good leaders in politics, and good leaders in politics aren't lawyers who couldn't cut the mustard in the private sector and therefore decide to run for politics. Mm-hmm. I mean, our elected class should be people who've gone into the private sector, made their bones in the private sector, and then went and served. Our founding fathers never dreamed that someone would want to be a
career politician
for 30,
yeah,
40
yeah.
years and never have experience real life. But that's what it's become. And listen, we get what we deserve. But you need to send bomb throwers down there. And I don't mean people who just shout and rant and rave, but people who propose legislation like I discussed. Hey, I'm proposing legislation that says that from now on, we only hire former military to be in the VA. I think you could get support for that. But even Republicans won't do that. Well, we can't do that. Well, why not? And the fact of the matter is we are truly sending on both sides of the aisle people down there whose primary motivation is to get reelected in 2 years, which is another conversation about term limits. If you know you're going to be gone in 4 years, your primary motivation, or 6 years or 12 years, your primary motivation shifts away from how do I get reelected to how do
their
I
legacy,
accomplish good
their legacy,
while I'm
yeah.
here.
Yeah. How do I serve? How do I truly serve?
Right.
And the incredible thing is that many of these politicians, they don't realize that all these things that are going to occur are going to affect their families and their kids and their grandkids. And they're going to have to grow up under these.
But here's the thing, you know. They continuously pass laws that don't affect them. They're
right.
immune from the laws that they pass. There's a great saying, you know, socialism is for you, not for the socialists. They always exclude themselves from the consequences of the very things they pass. You can't be convicted of insider trading as a congressman. That is outrageous. Most people don't even know that. But how is it that we have sent politicians to D.C. who make, I don't know, $180,000 a year? And from that meager salary, I guess, which, by the way, is way too high. I don't even think you should be compensated for being a professional politician. You then walk away from Congress after, quote unquote, public service, and you are a multimillionaire with $10, $20, $30 million in net worth. That's outrageous. Now, somebody needs to be held accountable for that. Somebody needs to be pointing that out. How is it that you go down to D.C. to serve and you walk out of there a multimillionaire? And the answer is it's corruption. They don't call it corruption, but that's exactly what it is. They separate themselves from the laws. They allow themselves to capitalize on legislation that they're going to pass. I mean, Harry Reid's worth $40 million last I checked. How is that even possible? But more importantly, why isn't anybody even asking the question of Harry Reid? Hey, Harry, why are you a multimillionaire? I thought you were serving the people, quote unquote. And if you're going to send more clowns down there who just look the other way or don't call people out on that, well, then you're going to get what we got now, which is all bad.
I totally understand that. And the fact that even when Harry stood on the floor of the Senate and called out Mitt Romney for not paying his taxes, and he said, well, have him prove that he didn't pay his that he paid his taxes. Well, just recently, as we had talked about previously on another show, that Harry, you know, was interviewed and he says, well, yeah, that wasn't true, but he didn't get elected, did he? So he didn't even care that he's not truthful, and I find that to be appalling all the way around. That they're
Harry Reid is a scoundrel and a liar, and this is the most powerful man in the United States Senate. How do we get to a place where a guy like Harry Reid or a woman like Nancy Pelosi? Look, I'm no fan of Boehner either. These are professional politicians, and we need better, and we need to demand better.
And the problem is people aren't doing their homework and finding out who they're voting for and holding these people accountable. And that's the problem right there. It's the American people that have to fix this.
Well, you get the government you deserve. And the standard throughout all of human history is tyranny, not what we started out with and not what our forefathers gave us, which is beautiful.
We're going to take a break, and we'll be back on the other side, and we'll continue the conversation.
Hello, this is Paul Fisher, headmaster of Coventry Christian School in Pottstown. I am so pleased that WFYL is a growing part of our community, serving as a voice of reason and a defender of and proponent for all that has made and will make America a great nation. There simply are not enough competing voices and ideas in the media, and we are proud to partner with WFYL in working for your liberty and things that truly matter. Advertising on WFYL has served us well and opened doors of opportunity for expanding our mission in classical Christian education, and the good people at the station have been so kind to help us network as well. I hope you will faithfully tune in to WFYL Share this station with others and consider how a partnership with your organization or business could strengthen our community and build a stronger America.
Stand in the Gap Weekend with Sam Rohr and Gary Dull of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network features a message from one of the nearly 3,000 church leaders that are members of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. The mission is to build a permanent network of pastors across the state that are dedicated to affirming the authority of Scripture and taking seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Every day, we're working to impact the nation's values by encouraging pastors to lead their churches in addressing today's toughest issues, including the deterioration of traditional marriage, pornography, sexual permissiveness, and abortion. You're invited to join us in the battle for truth.
Airing Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and streaming Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. on our website, 1180wfyl.com.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America. You're listening to WFYL 1180, working for your liberty and things that matter. Thanks for listening.
My name is Nancy Becker, and I am your recorder of deeds here in Montgomery County. It's very important for the veterans to be aware that they should record their DD-214 or military discharge in the recorder of deeds office. This is important because when a veteran passes, the funeral director will usually contact the recorder of deeds office so that they can arrange for a military funeral. And this relieves the burden of family members of trying to find this very important document. But the most important reason is that we are now issuing a veteran's photo ID card that entitles the veterans to discounts and incentives from nearly 400 businesses here in Montgomery County. All the veteran has to do is come into the Recorder of Deeds office at 1 Montgomery Plaza in Norristown. Parking is always free for our veterans. You just come into the parking garage and tell them you're a veteran and you can park free of charge. Bring along your DD-214 and a photo ID. We'll issue you the veteran's photo ID, give you a list of the businesses that are participating. It takes about 10-15 minutes at the most, and this way you will be receiving these discounts. The incentive for the business to do this is we advertise your business free of charge. My website gets about 1,000 hits a week, so the potential for over 1,000 people of seeing your business is there. Also, every veteran gets a list of all the businesses participating. They get it when they come into the office, and we email them to them every 3 to 4 weeks so that the veteran is aware of the new businesses we have. Veterans of Montgomery County, please come into our office. It would be my honor to shake your hand and thank you for your service to our country.
Welcome back to Raise the Standard. I'm Michael Rapp in studio with my wife Jean from Brandywine Flags in the Marchwood Shopping Center in Exton, along with retired Lieutenant Colonel Kevin Kelly. Kevin, during the break, we were talking about the failures and the deterioration of almost everything that is touched by the left. And let's just continue what we were discussing during the break. We talked about education and all kinds of things. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I like to be very direct when I'm talking about this. As I said, I was like a caged animal for 25 years. In the military, you fall under the Hatch Act, so you really can't be political in your speech. You can push up to the edge, but really you've got to kind of shut up and color, as they say. I truly despise the left and what they're doing in our country. And let me give you an example. Every city where you see these riots, every city where schools are failing, every city or municipality that's going bankrupt, every city that's got pension bomb about to go off, every city that's got high crime, to a city, to a municipality, they are all run by the left and not recently. They've been run by the left 30, 40, 50, 70 years in some cases. And then when there's riots, when the schools fail, when whatever happens, whatever malfeasance falls as a result of the left's policies, specifically as a result of the left's policies, the left stands around, and by that I mean the elected officials who are almost exclusively Democrat, stand there as if there's some innocent bystander to the destruction that's going on within their cities. It's amazing to me, the cognitive dissonance. And it's also amazing to me that the average citizen in a city still goes in and pulls that Democrat handle like a robot. Are you not aware of what's going on? And the fact is they're not. A lot of them, their heads are filled with nonsense. They're convinced, as we talked about earlier, they're a victim. They're convinced that somehow the government's going to help them out, this big government lumbering behemoth that steals from productive society in an effort to give crumbs to folks who believe in free stuff from government. At some point, at what point are we going to sit back? At what point is the electorate going to sit back and say, you know what? Maybe I'm going to give somebody else a shot to run this city. Look at New York. We all see New York in the 70s. The murders under David Dinkins, I think, were 2,000 in one of the years he was present. He was the mayor. A conservative like Rudy Giuliani comes in. You couldn't go. I remember going in high school up to Central Park. You couldn't go in Central Park after dark. Rudy Giuliani comes in, and in 8 short years, the city is transformed into a mecca. And now they vote for essentially a communist now. And I think the city's going to go devolve back to where it was. Everything the left touches, despite that they say that they want to be fair and they want justice, quote unquote, and they want equity, quote unquote.
And they're so much smarter than the rest of us.
If you're so much smarter, then why is it always somebody else's fault when your cities that you've run for 70 years are falling apart? I thought you were the smartest guy in the room. I thought you were the smartest gal in the room. You went to the best schools. You've got everybody's best interests at heart. Well, why is it then somebody else's fault? Why do you need more money from me to educate the kids in your city?
I don't think they want the kids to be educated. I think they want them to be stupid because that way they can control them.
Well, that's the bigger picture. The left is dependent upon a compliant voting class that is dependent upon government. And if you think that that's an outrageous statement, open your eyes and look. You've got people who vote 90% Democrat, and their lives are falling apart. Their communities are rioting. Their schools are failing. Their families are decimated. And yet, they're still voting Democrat.
I did see one little glimmer of hope with this Baltimore situation where Harry Lewis apparently went down there and started talking, and they, I can't even use the language they used, they just kind of chased him out. And maybe these people are finally waking up and realizing that something's amiss here, and the Democrats are the problem.
Yeah, it's tough, though. I mean, I had a friend in the military. He's a black guy, and he's an officer. And he told me my call sign was Grace. And we talked about things. We went through the OJ trial, the riots that happened in the 90s with who's the guy who was beat up in LA, the LA riots, all that stuff. So we talked openly.
Rodney King.
Yeah, he was a great friend of mine. And he told me, he said, Grace, you got to understand, when you come from someplace and you don't know that there's an alternative out there, you don't know what it's like to have a dad, you don't know what it's like to have an intact family, you don't know what it's like not to have your male role models either locked up or running around, you know, unemployed or in gangs, whatever. If you don't know that, you don't know what you're missing. He goes, I had to learn that in my 20s and 30s. It didn't even occur to me. And that's what's happening in our communities. You've got 5-6 generations of people who haven't had a job, people who haven't, you know, gone to college or experienced, you know, life-enhancing things. They don't understand what the alternative is because they've been trapped in this bubble of government dependence and essentially brainwashing.
Well, look what the Democrats did after Obama came in, and I don't know all the details, but down in Washington, D.C., they had these other schools, some kind of program that the poor kids could go to these better schools, and they were doing great. And they cut off the funds for that, and now the kids had to go back to their old schools.
Right. Here's why vouchers work. For example, they have the money follow the child, and you know why I know it'll work? Because I know mothers love their kids, and I know mothers are going to make the the best decision for their kids. Those charter schools that you said that Obama closed down in D.C., he doesn't want the best for your kid. By the way, Obama's kids go to private schools.
Absolutely.
They don't go to public school. 50% of the teachers in Chicago, their children go to public school, private school. What does that tell you? Okay? They exclude themselves. The left continuously excludes themselves from the horror of the policies that they inflict upon our inner cities. And you have mothers crying because their kids, you see it in Philly in charter schools, they have a lottery system, and if the kid doesn't get into the charter school, he's banished to the public school. Sending your kid to public school in Philadelphia is like child abuse, and parents are weeping. So I know that conservative libertarian ideas such as, hey, let the mom decide where the kid goes to school and let competition reign, but the unions and the Democrat Party and the politicians who need those unions to get reelected, they don't want any part of that. They don't care about your kid. They care about the union. They care about getting reelected, and they care about sustaining this failing system because it helps them.
Absolutely. $17,000 per child is spent.
Not enough.
In Philadelphia.
Not enough. And they say, how much do you need? We need more. Well, how much more? We need more. Look, if you pour water into a sieve, you're not going to collect water. I don't care how much money you pour into a broken system. The problem isn't money. The problem is the system itself. And I hold conservatives and Republicans responsible for this too. We send these mealy-mouthed lawyers down to D.C. as Republicans. You know what? We need to send fighters down there. To me, two requirements to be a political representative. A, serve in combat.
Absolutely.
Getting shot at is a life-changing event. Trust
yeah,
me.
Really.
It is. And making a payroll. I think the two are equal. If you've never met a payroll, if you've never cut the mustard in the private sector, how are you then going to go down to D.C. and represent people when your experience has nothing to do with the people back at home are experiencing? It's insanity. But, yeah, we do it all the time.
If you've only ever signed the back of the paycheck as opposed to the front.
Right.
That's
different.
The key.
If you own a business, you're the last one paid. You're the first one to work. You're the last one to leave. Trust me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People say, oh, yeah, you own your own business. You can do whatever you want to do. It's like, believe me, we're there every day and every night. We eat it. We sleep it. We think it all the time.
24/7.
Because we are responsible for that.
Obama said that, you know, you didn't build that if you have a business. Well, when I was, and many times I'm there till 7, 8 o'clock at night and other people are home having had dinner already and they're already sitting in front of the TV. Right. Yeah, I built it. We built it.
Yeah, darn right I built it. You know what? They say, oh, well, you know, the roads and the infrastructure. Let me ask you a question. They have roads and they have infrastructure in North Korea. How come they don't have any? How come they don't build businesses in North Korea? If you're saying it's all about roads and businesses and buildings and infrastructure, what's the difference between America and North Korea?
Good point.
There should be no difference.
Good point.
Yeah. Actually, North Korea doesn't even have electricity. It's unbelievable.
Right. There's big government at its finest.
Yeah. There you go. And when you look in, you mentioned the word infrastructure for what? How many years? 20, 30, 50 years. We're saying we've got to rebuild our bridges. We've got to rebuild our roads.
And then they produce the funding for it, and it never happens. Yeah. And then the next administration, we got to rebuild our infrastructure.
Here's all you need to know about these charlatans, whether it's Obama, Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, a lot of them. They've never had a job. Mm-hmm. If you've never had a job, then you should never be elected to any kind of office. Barack Obama has never worked a day in his life. He's been handed everything in his life. How is that man now fit to be the most powerful man in the United States of America? It's a joke. I don't care what
he's doing. Considering also that he has such disdain for this country.
Right. Well, he's raised by communists. That's a conversation for another time.
That's another show.
Okay. Well, this has really been enlightening. I feel so encouraged now that things are really.
I think America's going to, just like they did after Jimmy Carter, just like they did after FDR. I think it was Churchill said, America always gets it right, but only after they've exhausted every other option.
And that's the truth.
I think 2010, I think 2014 were opportunities for America to spit out this leftism. And I think in 2016, they're going to spit it out again. We keep making the same mistakes. But at the end of the day, hopefully, we do, as Churchill says, we come to the right conclusion eventually.
The problem is the longer it takes us to get those people out of there, the more damage they're going to do, and the longer it's going to take us to fix it. But we will fix it, and the reason we will fix it is because we are Americans.
Right, and don't be afraid to get in the gutter, by the way. If the left wants to fight in the gutter, I'll fight you in the boardroom, I'll fight you in the gutter.
There you go.
Don't cede any ground to the left.
Kevin, thank you so much for being on the show with us. We look forward to having you folks back for Raise the Standard again next week here on WFYL 1180. If you have problems and you're out of the area, you can always just go to the website and you can stream it, or go onto the website and you can listen on the podcast to any of the shows from our previous programs. Thank you again from Brandywine Flags and the Marchwood Shopping Center. We say have a wonderful day.